Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is July 4th, 2017. I guess I should say happy 4th of July. I don't know if we can be happy about this 4th of July. I think our country's in more danger than ever, frankly. Today we have with us a new friend that I met, and I believe he's been on before one more. It's Brian Porter from MakingADifference.TV. Brian, have you been on our show before? I have gotten so busy in the last few months, I don't remember all the people and when I've talked to them.
Well, actually, what we did is you're on my network.
Oh, that's right. I did an interview on your show.
Yeah, I brought you
on. I knew there was something about that. I apologize for this. My brain, this is me just being completely spontaneous. I thought I'd just ask you, because as I was about to say, he's been on here before, and I went, wait a minute, I didn't think so. So thank you for joining us.
Let me finish, Lonnie, because you're one of the top activists on planet Earth.
That's amazing that I'm one of the top activists on planet Earth. That's a sad state of affairs if I'm one of the top activists.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm creating a lead activist in each one of the core problems. Okay, I've got a list of the core problems. Can I just go through my list of all the issues we're dealing with?
Because for those of you who have not gone to makingadifference.tv, definitely make it a place that you go to regularly. Check out all of his videos, his interviews. I only recently met Brian and became aware of his station, and it is actually completely awesome. A really good guide to how to live in peace in times of war, so to speak. So please go through your list.
Okay, so geoengineering, I have Jim Lee as my guy for that. Nuke waste bombs and war, I've got John Apsley down as a good resource. Do you know John Apsley?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, John Apsley is a brilliant naturopath who studied the effects of radiation on our health.
Is that A-S-H-L-E-Y?
A-P-S-L-E-Y.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. I should also have depleted uranium in there because that's a big problem. But he, do you know that ship that got irradiated off the coast of Japan when Fukushima blew?
Yeah, the Reagan. Well, there were several, but the one that was really the most egregious was the Reagan. Yes, USS Reagan.
John Apsley was approached by the Navy initially, but he said they didn't want to pay him, so he pulled out of it. But he was one of the first people they approached because he's an expert on remediation from radiation poisoning. He's one of the top in the world. He runs regenerative workshops. But I'm going to add you to this list because I think you've done some amazing work and you've talked to a lot of the top nuclear activists, anti-nuclear activists on planet Earth. So let's just go through the list. And then I've got GMOs and industrial farming. I've got Vandana Shiva as the top activist for that area. 85,000 chemicals in air, water, and soil that we don't know what they do. Well, maybe 500 of them. Environmental Working Group is a great, great group of scientists that's spearheaded in the U.S. Have you heard of them?
I have heard of them, Environmental Working Group, yeah.
One of the top things they did is they proved that all children now are basically born in a toxic soup. They're gestating in their mother's womb, and it's full of chemicals. Mm-hmm. They proved that way about like 10 years ago. Okay.
Were they the same group that verified that even no matter how clean your diet is, that breast milk now has flame retardant in it? Was that the same group that proved that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
They're hard to get on an interview because they kind of like, they're like, you know, PhD, postdoc types people. But, you know, they only deal with, you know, they don't deal with low life people like you and I don't have a PhD. But their research is good. I support them. I don't care about ego anymore. I mean, you just got to see beyond all the frailties of humans to get to this problem. Then the next big problem is economic and political systems. We basically live in a fascist world where big business and big government basically are pushing all the buttons. And you and I have very little effect at this point, unfortunately.
Pretty much. Well, you know, it's really hilarious in this country. I find it so hilarious that Trump is now calling them fake news, right? The media, the mainstream media that gave him 80 times more free television coverage during the election and did not cover Bernie Sanders. They covered him 80 times more than Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders had tens of thousands of people showing up. And yet now he's biting the hand that fed them and say, you're all fake news. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, he's one of those wily characters. He's got a lot of support, and unfortunately, I think it's to the detriment of those. But
well, it's part of that whole fascist system. That's what brought that up. It's like that's how they operate, actually, because it is a fascist system. That's exactly how they operate.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of good people in the alternative news movement that think he's a great guy. So he's really confusing. But I just want to go through my list here. Now, I put the money God separate because it's in the Bible. Christianity has a huge effect on this planet. So I've listed the money God, and it's actually a demon in the Bible. It's called Mammon. People have to realize that the money system we work now is completely unnatural and contrary to every principle of regeneration on this planet. So we have to change our money system if we have any hope of saving the planet. So that's why I have something called Mother Earth Money, which will completely change the way we use our money. And I think it's the most powerful solution here. But anyways, we'll get to that later if we have time. I think we should do a few shows together because I got a lot of solutions and I'd like to.
I totally love that if you would do more than one show with me.
Yeah, because I don't like talking to myself. You know, I'm a social person. I love my species. I love chatting with people. And I find it's the most effective way of getting messages out, you know. Okay, next problem. We've got a world at war. There's a great site called warsintheworld.com. And he says right now there's 68 nations at war. I'd say your nation's at war internally. The amount of people being killed and mass shootings and 30,000 a year with gun violence. I think the United States itself qualifies as a nation at war.
And India, that's our only product, Brian.
Yeah, it's a big problem down there. But believe me, up here in Canada, we're not innocent. We got our extensions of your military-industrial complex, and we just sent earlier this year, we sent $15 billion of specialized armored cars, brand new, high-tech, probably the bells and whistles you can imagine in these things, to over to Saudi Arabia, and they're using them in Yemen right now in the war there.
What? I did not know that.
Yeah, it came out.
I wonder how much the U.S. sent. Do you know how much the U.S. sent to Saudi Arabia?
I mean, the U.S., basically, they're the spearhead of the military-industrial complex, the Pentagon, right? So they have all these companies all over the world. I used to specialize in this stuff like 35, 40 years ago, but I kind of got out of it. And I don't know what happened to my thesis. I wrote my master's thesis on the military-industrial complex, and somehow it disappeared from my home. I don't know what happened, but it's kind of sad. A lot of work, 2 years of research.
That's but, odd. Wait a minute.
We know through the stock market and through all these vehicles, we basically support the military-industrial complex. People invest in all these defense contractors. People know the generals retire. They go work for the defense contractors. There's really no difference between the government and the defense contractors. They basically have the power. And this is why Trump increased the military budget tremendously. Isn't the new budget a trillion a year now in the U.S.?
I don't know what the number is. It's outrageous. This is the thing that I can't get over is they admit that they can't balance their budget and they have lost $12 trillion. That's the thing that blows me away. They can't account for $12 trillion, and they're telling us they're an organization and they can't balance their budget. Sorry. So just keep giving us billions and trillions more. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's going to the underground, deep state, space program, all that stuff. I don't even actually – I don't have that listed as a separate issue, but it kind of comes under the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
So let's finish our list of issues. So basically we know – you and I agree. One of the biggest businesses on earth is the military industrial complex. Then the next problem is media fluff. We don't really have a place to go. I think what your network is good, and I'd like to create an official affiliation with your network. But where do we go to get the real scoop on what's happening? Because there's the mainstream news, which is full of, it's basically run by the corporate news network, which is very centralized in what there's five networks now and they all share a board of directors. So what we need is a place, and that's why I created Making a Difference, where I get people on that I think actually, as much as it's hard to see all the truth, people who are promoting a reasonable analysis of what's actually happening on planet Earth. They're not affected by the mainstream nor the alternative media, because we know there's a lot of people in the alternative media who are not very accurate either in their reporting. So what I'm trying to do is use discernment and figure out who actually is on top of, let's take Alex Jones, for example. I think the guy really has a good list of the problems. The problem is his solutions suck.
I personally think Alex Jones is a Republican operative. You want me to tell you the truth? I think he's been planted there to stir up hate, fomate hate, and instigate bigotry. I mean, the guy, I have no respect for him, but his ideas, this is exactly what they do. They throw out the truth with somebody who's so incendiary that most people will reject him. I mean, he's a multimillionaire now. Let's just be clear. He's not some poor schmuck running a little small station. And he lives in one of the most corrupt states. So if people, personally, I have no proof. This is my intuitive feeling, but I think he's part of, for me, when he broke into Bohemian Grove, that was you don't break into, anybody from California who knows that area, you don't break into Bohemian Grove. Let's just put it, and come out alive. They're serious about this stuff. So I don't know. So we can move on from Alex Jones,
New World Order, globalism, it's basically the multinational corporation, which is the heartbeat of the Western military-industrial anti-creator complex. So you can't say you're against it and not criticize and offer a complete change in the way we live. I mean, you can't just say, this guy's bad and this guy's bad. No, it's not a personality issue. It's the structure.
It's
something
true.
I learned at a very young age when I was in my 20s. Structuralism in my school of social work. We talked about changing the fabric of society. This is what's going to change things here, okay? It isn't a few people replacing this person or that person. It's a return to the smallest, beautiful garden. This is what we need. We need a million cities on this planet, all living in harmony with nature. This is really the final goal of what I'm doing, is to get back to the smallest, beautiful farming community, everything local, everything organic, our water purified, our air purified if we need to, get these places off toxic sites like these horrible nuke dumps and all these polluted sites. We got to strategically place them. This is where we're going. And the good news is, Lonnie, that these places already exist. And it's one of the reasons I promote them. And I'm actually going to move to one soon, I think. Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is big. Okay, so.
Are you going to have electricity there? We'll come back to this, but does it have electricity?
Oh, no, yeah. No, it's a farm. It's just outside of the capital of Canada, Ottawa. Yeah. Sweet. I'm not sure if they're completely off the grid there. I mean, it's always a work in progress, right? And this guy, the guy that runs this place, he's one of the most respected environmental thinkers in Canada. He's written lots of books, and we're going to hopefully collaborate in some big initiatives. I mean, he believes in global warming and stuff, which, I mean, I don't really care. I don't like the oil and gas industry. It's gotten way too big. We never needed it, Lonnie. We had hemp. Henry Ford ran his cars on electricity, alcohol, and hemp diesel. We never needed the oil industry.
It's true. There's actually been inventions where you could run an engine that we have now on water. Something like a gallon of water would take you like 50,000 miles. Like they were able to use the. It was just this huge idea, you know. I mean, they just regenerated the steam that kept going. So a little tiny bit of water took you like maybe it was 5,000 miles. I read this article about, I think it was 2006, but it was one of those suppressed inventions because of the profiteering motive. I mean, it's profit over people is the mode of the day.
Right. That's part of the money god system. And yeah, all those things. So, okay. So we got to fix the media. We have to get one of the big things of my fixes is the media getting and I'm trying to do it through making a difference. And that's why I want you guys to work with me because I think you've got some of the top people. On your network. I really respect what you're doing. It's UCY, right?
UCY.TV. And yes, I completely agree with you. This station is really like, man, a shining light in a world of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, is Dane Wakington still on your network?
Uh-huh. He has geoengineering every week. Every Saturday we have Nuclear Hot Seat, which I frankly think Nuclear Hot Seat is the best weekly radio show. I listen to her podcast two or three times every week because it's always packed with information that I need to absorb. It's just, I need to hear it more than once to be able to grasp the information she brings. It's amazing.
Right.
And we have, there's a bunch of other really great shows. And the thing that I love about this radio station is I don't actually agree with everyone that I listen to, but everyone has thoughtful points of view. And they have allowed me to shift and look at things a little bit differently and understand that it's not always black and white. You know what I mean? There's always shades of, there's in-betweens, and it's not, I don't know, it's a deep sense of humanity that I get from the different points of view on this radio station. And I think that's why I'm hoping that, once Jules gets back, maybe you guys can work this out because I completely agree with you. We all need to join hands and join forces to, yeah. I liken us to a tsunami. We're still coming in, right? We haven't been able to draw back and recreate something different. We're still drawing in.
Well, see, the key is knowing how to do a difference. Okay, I'm a foundational thinker. I look at foundational knowledge systems. I've been studying this stuff for 35, 40 years. Okay, I think I have some very powerful solutions, and I just got to use my perlocutionary force, my ability to persuade others to get in line, because what I've done is I've actually taken the best ideas and put them all together. And they're not my ideas. Karl Marx didn't write Das Kapital. He didn't come up with all the ideas, but what he did is he took his time and he read all the philosophy of his era and all the economic theory, and he came up with his theory of, basically capitalism, which I think is a very accurate theory. And it's proven to be true. He said that this system is going to become more and more hierarchical. It's going to become, there's going to be fewer and fewer players. And eventually it's going to choke itself off. And we're right there at the top. We're at the point where we're choking the whole world off with this love of money and capitalism and power. And, people are just, as you say, just a number, just a dot now on a computer system. And we've got to completely change the system. This is our own. But the thing is, like I say, the seeds of it are changing. There's powerful networks of people working off the grid, on the land, if not off grid. At least they're creating their own food. The first step is grow your own damn food, people. This is the first step. I hear all these people running around telling me how they're spiritually connected to Gaia and they eat at McDonald's. I'm sorry. sorry, folks. You gotta. The other thing I do, Lonnie, which is really easy to do, I sleep outside as much as I can. I sleep right on the earth. This is a powerful way to reconnect with Gaia, with the living planet, which is actually a complex of different living beings. It isn't one being. It's actually a complex of nature spirits, the Kogi people. I've learned about them through my friend Barbara Three Crow, who's a beautiful clan mother. And she's visited them. They literally go to a place called a Luna where they hang out with nature spirits. Yeah. And they energy balance the whole planet from their mountains in Colombia. The battle is far from over, Lonnie. This place is full of beauty still.
It's true. And you know what? This is the interesting thing that I've come to grasp. The people that are oppressors, that's kind of their role. Like, they're not going to just give up because we're standing up to them. Like, even if we make some advances, they're still going to push back. So this is a long term. I mean, especially when we're talking about nuclear waste, I had this kind of come to Jesus moment about it. This is a long term waste. The people that have created this aren't going to just give up and say, oh, you're right, we need to protect the planet and put it in the right place, because they have no regard for life at all because they're creating this waste. So it's our responsibility to be good stewards of the planet and pursue solutions, real solutions, real attitudes. Like, they want us to just give up, but there's a lot of really great things going on the planet, honestly. People are really beginning to embrace their responsibility as stewards of our earth and of our universe. I think it's a very interesting time to be alive. It's a very exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, the good news is this. Even the bastards, even the people who really want to control us and run everything, like, you know, like maybe the Rothschilds are like sort of at the peak. They're the worst of the worst. But most people I know who have money, who have power, they have an estate somewhere in the woods. They own, like, the bushes. They own hundreds of thousands of acres of land. And, in fact, they're part of the problem because they're stealing land from the poor, these big land corporations, investment companies. But they love nature, too. So they don't want this planet destroyed. But what they're doing is they're trying to take control of it all and starve us out and depopulate. So this is a big problem for you and me. But I don't believe that they want to destroy the planet. But I think that what they don't see is that their methodology is going to end up doing it, or at least killing us in most life forms that are natural. They're working on plans to create a completely mechanized system here, devoid of any need for any living beings. And this is a big problem, and this is part of this budget that's going missing. It's underground research in robotics and cloning systems, and you name it. I mean, you know, I'm sure these things are talked about on this program. But let me finish my list of issues. Legal systems are a huge problem. I just did a show yesterday, and I'm just going to go up soon on my site, with a guy up here in Canada. He actually lives on Turtle Island. His name is James Shanks. He's a Chippewa native. He's spearheading the move to get the native people to be recognized under common law. And there's a treaty that was signed back in 1763, I believe, that said that one third of the commerce was going to go to the native people in Canada. This was this treaty signed, and he's basically trying to get that trust released, the money that's owed to them in this trust. This is a big initiative. This is the kind of thing that we need to do. Yeah, I'm all behind what you said you're involved with, which is creating community rights systems, which is sort of part of the rights of nature movement kind of complex in way of dealing with law. But the laws are way too complicated. And they basically, you end up fighting for 5 years to save a river. By the time you've fought for 5 years, the river's dead. So we've got to make things simpler and quicker. And there's a great place in Canada called Quebec, the province of Quebec. They passed a law there that said you cannot touch anything wild within 10 meters of a river or a lake. Now, that includes people who own property on these places, which is a lot of people do, right? So it's privatized areas. And it's a great law, and it's allowed for a resurgence to some extent of the wildlife in Quebec, because we know these systems are complex, but you need things to go wild. Nature has its own intelligence. It knows what to do. Leave it alone. Stop cutting your grass or stop putting chemicals on it to kill the weeds. So within 10 meters of any waterway or lake, they've got this great new law. This is the kind of stuff that I promote. Laws that make a difference, right? That's what I'm all about, making a difference, right? Actionable activism. This is what we have to focus on. We have to get to the core of what's going to make a difference here. Yeah. So next big problem, shipping. Underreported, 90,000 ships running around this planet.
So true.
Rain, acid rain. 15 of these ships, an article Fred Pierce put out. He's a, oh God, people comment when I'm on air.
Sorry.
And
that's all right.
He,
it'll just ring a few times. It don't worry, you just ignore it. That happens to
shutting up my phone here. No, it's okay. Just that I'm showing my house for sale, and sometimes the agents will call me like 10 times to, you know, get access to it.
So it might continue.
Okay. Let me, can I just run downstairs and disconnect my phone?
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to talk to people about this universal commercial code. I think that's where you're going, right? So Brian and I were talking about this earlier, this whole thing about one of the things that we need to do. And, you know, I'm always pushing the community right since I went to this democracy school. I think that's what we need to do, at least here in the States, is get the community rights. But he's talking about the Universal Commercial Code, which was first published in 1952. It basically gives commercial interests free reign. Brian, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay,
yes.
That was pretty cool.
My phone's connected downstairs, so I have to go down there to do it. So we're good now. Well, yeah, that's part of the legal system fix. The Rights of Nature movement, I'm pushing them. I'm fortunate. I know some of the top activists on Earth because I did a show called I Am Nature, and I through friends I connected with. So I know people that are running the Rights of Nature movement, which is very powerful and very big. And they're through the UN. They're trying to create laws that are going to protect nature and give nature rights, which, again, I think it's a good movement, but I think, like I said, the analogy of trying to save the river and then it died.
Right, exactly.
I think it's cumbersome. It's too slow.
Well, I have a question to ask you. How did Canada get that law passed? How did they get that law passed in Canada that said nobody can...
Quebec. Okay, well, the interesting thing about Canada is, well, most people think that Quebec is part of Canada. What they've done,
Isn't Quebec part of Canada?
They're political geniuses. What they did is they basically said, well, if you want to sustain Canada, you're going to have to pay us a lot of money to stay in Canada because we don't really want to be in Canada. We're big enough to be our own nation. They've got the best hydro. I think they have the best hydroelectric system in the world. Hmm. They have a huge amount of water moving towards Hudson's Bay in the north. There's nothing up there, really. Muskeg. It's almost unlivable up there. So they've taken this water. They've done very little damage to the ecosystem. They've paid the native people who are coexisting up there. As far as I know, they've made a pretty good deal with the native people for flooding their lands. And they created this huge complex. Most of it goes to the U.S., actually. They sell a lot of their power to the U.S. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we could have bought it in Ontario. We're right next door to Quebec in Ontario. That's our border, right? But we went with nukes, which is a completely different thing. Yeah. Yeah, 35 years ago, we could have bought their power. We would have cost us 10% of what we're paying now for power if we'd gone to Quebec. And instead, we put in another Fukushima, the same design as Fukushima is right next door to me, like 50 miles away, on the Lake of Ontario, spilling tritium into the water daily. It's a total screw up. And thank God there are people in Ontario fighting it. And there's a group that is actually fighting, and they've got almost every city signed up to cancel the license in 2018 or not renew the license.
Thomas Ackerman's covered this a bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. let's get back to the UCC. This is something an idea I have, and I actually got to check it out with some of these legal minds that I know, like Jim Shanks. But I'd like to see the UCC change to say business can no longer emit toxins. No business can emit toxins, and give them time to change, like give them 5-10 years, you know, give them a delayed, you know, reaction. But I think this is the key. We have to learn to do business, make things without releasing toxins. UN just put out a study last year. I had it on my site. If they actually cleaned up the mess from the toxins that they release through the industry right now, mining, whatever, they'd make no money. If they actually cleaned up the mess, they'd in the end, they'd make no money. So the whole system of releasing toxins, if it was done right and it was ecological, it would be a zero bottom line. So we have to stop the release. And this is what I'm saying about if we could change the UCC and say no, within the next 5 to 10 years, you have to. So let's look at shipping. We have to stop shipping and releasing using bunker fuel, which releases a huge amount of toxic SO2, SO4 into the water, acid rain, acidifies the water, kills all the microorganisms, the algae. 73% are gone now. I was reading the other day. 73%. That's a huge number. Because
of the algae, you're saying 73% of the algae is gone?
Yes, that's how much it's declined. I think probably usually the spectrum is like the last 50 years. Half the biosphere's died already. Like I'm talking about a microbial level, which is what we are. We're basically 90% microbial. Our bodies are 90% microbial. We couldn't digest our food without thousands, millions, billions of different types of microbes. So this is key. So we have to find ways to do things a bit quicker. And I haven't given up. People like Jim Shanks are really shaking some trees out there. And he's got the really, this is even important, not so much the fact that he's launched this lawsuit. He's got people from all over Canada, different native groups contacting him and paying him to go see them and talk about what he's talking about. And so they're understanding their rights, which is key. We all have to understand that we have a right to live here and not be killed by the system we're living under and not be toxified. This is a basic human right that's being denied to everyone on this planet, other than those that, you know, live underground or have the best detoxification systems on Earth. And believe me, there's a lot of rich people here who have these systems and they exist, right? But most of us don't. So we're all suffering. A lot of people that I know are activists are quite sick, right? And that's kind of what's brought them to it. So something like shipping, we should have a law. Boom. No more release, no more use of bunker fuel. Actually, believe it or not, they're bringing back sailing. Sailing is becoming more and more used. They're putting sails on ships to save on fuel use. But we could use solar shipping. We could actually produce what we need locally, which is probably the best solution. These sorts of things. This is the kind of thing that makes me realize that the whole global warming science is fakery, because if they actually believe in what they say about acidification of water, they would have highlighted shipping, because it's the main problem. It isn't the use of our cars and trucks. It's the shipping that's killing.
I agree. Ships. Actually, you know what? This is James Corbett actually put out one of the funniest videos he's ever. It was a 10 or 12 minute video this morning about how ridiculous this freak out about, because they keep changing, they keep moving the goalposts. You know, he highlighted how they said that we were going to, now the UN's come out and said, we've got 3 more years. It used to be, if we didn't get it till like 2012 or 1998, they keep, it's just a big thing to freak us out.
Yeah. 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 And as I said, we talked about this the other day offline about, it was created to help nuclear power become powerful and more widespread, because it doesn't, one thing it doesn't do is it doesn't emit CO2. At least on the ground. I'm sure a lot of what they do, they're processed.
But it does actually use a lot of fossil fuel. That's the disconnect. It does use a lot of fossil fuel.
Of course.
Cradle to grave, you know. So it does produce, it does actually produce carbon, the so-called carbon. I mean, it really actually does do a lot of polluting besides nuclear polluting and killing all the microbes. I think it's a triple killer. Personally,
it's the worst toxin ever invented, ever. Yeah. And it's not just on land, it's up in the atmosphere too, because of the 2000 bomb tests. And, you know, wackos trying to set the earth on fire with the atmosphere. I mean, just, anyways. So we're going through this. We've already talked about the military industrial complex. That's one of my issues. Mining, oil extraction, and deforestation. We're still killing native people all over this planet. We're moving under the lands. You talked about Ecuador. Believe me, Ecuador, a third of it has been sold basically to the Chinese, and they're moving in there. And Canada's in there too. We are the center of mining on the planet Earth. This is the one thing we just don't want to admit. We're doing a lot of devastation to sacred. There's nothing more important than rainforest, because there's so much biodiversity in a square land of rainforest. It like 1,000 times more than you'll get on, you know, like say in a desert or say up in Canada where we have even the boreal forest compared to a rainforest. There's no, you can't compare them. There's so much more rich. There's so much more biodiversity. There's so many more medicines. There's so much more natural energy being created in these places. We cannot destroy any more of the rainforest, folks. You know, 75% gone in Brazil. Recently, 200 different native groups have gotten together in Brazil to fight the destruction of the rainforest, which is a very good move, okay? As things get worse, more people come together. More people are getting the message. We have to be together as one group. Mm-hmm. This is one of my big, big messages to the planet of activists. There's one planet, folks. There's no nations. There's one planet. We all have to come together, and we can. We can create a political party that's going to promote and pass laws and make suggestions and bring back the smallest, beautiful community. We can create sustainability-free zones. This is what they did in China, but they did it the opposite. They said, hey, come over here. Set up your businesses. We don't care what you do. We don't care if you enslave people. We don't care if you torture people. We don't care if you just spoil our land. We just want your money, your power. And they set up free economic free zones. And they let them do anything they wanted to get this huge influence now and power they have in China, right? They've really, you know, become a powerhouse economically. But we want to do the opposite of that. We want to say, okay, let people live, let give them community rights, as you were saying earlier, to set up sustainable cities and areas and farms. Prove that we can live and we can create not just enough for ourselves, but we can create enough to give most of our food away and help other people, or set up roadside stands and sell organic produce, and we can create powerful healing centers. We can create hemp, and we can create hemp oil, which is going to cure all the cancer across North America. It's been proven it works. Rick Simpson proved that hemp oil, high in THC, is a powerful cure for almost any disease, let alone
cancer. Harry Prince is taking over my Friday, the Friday show for this. I don't know what he's going to title his show, but that's one of his big issues. He's going to talk. He talks about that very regularly on his own show. I think it's called The Big Puzzle. And he's going to be talking about it here every Friday. I'm sure more often than not, you can tune in and he'll be talking about it.
Well, Barry's on my network and he's a good friend of mine. He's actually throwing messages at me on Skype while we're doing this show. So he's obviously listening. We have a listener. It's Barry Prince.
We have lots of listeners, actually.
Barry's an awesome guy. He literally lives. He is a guy who's doing it. He lives off the forest. He's a natural man. He does everything he can to do things in harmony with Mother Nature. And hemp, high in THC, he introduced me to Rick Simpson. I've got his interview on my site. This is the thing. Lonnie, all the solutions are out there. They're on the internet now. They can try to squash this and that, but there's so much duplicity. There's so much duplication of solutions. They cannot squash it all. The solutions are out there. We just got to tune people in. We got to make them realize that they're natural beings, and we got to get back to the garden of love and abundance. It's a very simple message, and it's very powerful. And it's, you know what? You don't have to have a PhD in anything to understand it, that we're made out of water. We're made out of the soil from what we eat. We're made out of the air that we breathe, right? We're made out of the water that we drink. So it's a very simple message, and it's very powerful. And that's why I created the show I Am Nature. And now I've moved it up to making a difference, because I found all the most powerful ideas and activists, and I've consolidated them into one network. Now, it's not complete. I'm still working on it. But, you know, this is the message, again, I'm putting out to all activists. We have to come together. Do we need a million shows on anti-nuke? No, we need maybe 10. And the people that are doing the shows, maybe they could share the show. Mm-hmm. 10 other activists together. Each one does a show every 10 weeks, and the other guys support them by doing research and helping them. Now, wouldn't that be a great model?
Yeah, and even this idea, like the thing about the shipping, wouldn't that be awesome if we had somebody talking about that? Because it's such a, I really, until you shared that information with me, I really didn't understand the gravity. This is the thing, it's kind of like we get these like come to Jesus moments, like where you learn this, you're like, oh my God, really? It's that you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. And then all of a sudden it's urgent, right? So it's Patty Aminos thought that we should form a union. She thought that might be a good way for us to, you know, the all the peace activists and the anti-nukers and people that are working on the planet, we should form some kind of a union so we'd have some type of political might.
Well, that's it. We need a political party. I've got one called the Gardner Party. I've got it. It's all laid out. I'm open to suggestions. I think I've earmarked all the, basically all the stuff we talked about today are the issues. Okay, so let's finish. So we got the last issue, I call it corrupted medicine, pharma, cancer treatment, and vaccines. That's another huge issue that's got to be dealt with. We've got to start, we've got to get back to natural medicine systems. Again, I've studied everything that I know that exists on planet Earth. The most powerful natural system on planet Earth is called Ayurvedic medicine. It comes out of the Vedas. It comes out of India. It's hugely influenced the naturopath industry, medical system, which is better. Okay. But I believe that Ayurvedic is the most powerful, and we need to create panoptic healing centers. But what they are is where you say have 10 different doctors from different disciplines who have educated in different areas to come together. And then when people come in, they if one system had a problem, you know, fixing this person, whether it was Ayurvedic or naturopath or even like a Western kind of doctor, they'd conference and they'd work out, you know, systems and ways of fixing things. Because all the medicines, the Western medicine is very much influenced by drug therapy and chemotherapy and that kind of stuff. It's very rarely effective. There might be a few things out there that work. But we've got to get back to nature as the basis of everything. And naturopathy and Ayurvedic. Basically, Ayurvedic is just naturopathy on, like, super powerful. Because they also understand nature's energetic systems like chakras, things that we don't understand in the West. The whole Vedic knowledge system. I show people who think they know a lot about astrology. I send them to this guy. His name is Sanjay Rath, who is an expert in Vedic astrology. And you literally, they have no idea what he's talking about. Because this is the source of Western astrology is the Eastern. What we did in the West is we took half-truths of Eastern knowledge, okay? And we broke them and we used them. And basically what science is now in the West is a weaponized version of everything that the East started, and they took it and they corrupted it. And so when we get back more to Eastern approaches, it's gonna heal the planet. Because when you look at the Vedas basically said, talk about minimalism. They said, these guys, these yogis, they can sit and absorb energy right out of the biosphere in the universe. They don't even have to eat. I mean, if there is a more powerful cure for the planet than that, I don't know what is. I mean, talk about sustainable. We're talking to a friend about that. What could be more sustainable than somebody who doesn't have to move or eat? So, you know, and I'm not saying I want everyone to become a yogi, but I'm just saying that everything that's good starts with nature, right? And then we can build on that. And we can have a million different cities and places in the world. And each one will be their seed. Their seed will be their approach. Have you heard of a place called Damanur?
No.
Okay. Damanur is a beautiful eco-village. They're into art. They're into healing. And they're into their own seed of knowledge, their own new spiritual system, which is spiritual. It's not religious. And they're thriving over in Spain. They're not into making money, but they get a lot of attention, and they, you know, people have to pay to go there and stay there, but they're getting a lot of attention because people go there and they kind of like feel like they've gone to heaven, right, on earth. They get this, I saw a video, they literally can take a plant, hook up electrodes to it in a way that doesn't hurt the plant, and that plant will play music.
Yeah, I've heard that actually. I've actually seen videos where you listen to the music that plants play. I've seen that.
Okay, so yeah, well, I knew there were some pretty cool things there, but I didn't know they actually had plants playing music. And they actually said that the plants, they actually teach them how to play music. I don't quite understand how
they do that. The plants teach them how to play music.
Well, no, they said initially when they do it, the plants, they take the feedback, they feel the vibration of the music they're creating, and then they actually learn through time to make better and better music.
I could believe that because, I mean, this is a way divergent idea, but I actually really believe that the plants are, you know, they're attempting to communicate with us. And I believe that they want, like, they're part of our spiritual connection. This is why destroying the ecosystem and destroying the rainforest is literally an assault on life and the people that are doing it. They're just, I don't even think they're connected to their spirituality. They just are, they've lost all that. But I can believe that completely, that the plants learned how to create music through feedback.
And they like it. They actually like it. And this is one of I think where I diverge a bit from the Vedic system, in that they think the humans are the most advanced. I think what's most advanced is a system that harmonizes everything. In plants, animals, and this is the shamanic system, and this is what we used to rule this planet up until about 5 or 6 thousand years ago. And I think there's the Bible talks about evil coming here, spirits. There's all sorts of stuff about angels having sex with women and giants, and there's all sorts of different ideas and fables about this stuff. Which one's realist? But there's something came here and it created an evil intelligence. And I believe that because we used to live in perfect harmony. They talk about Eden in the Bible, the place of Eden. So all the solutions come back to getting there again and getting back to the Garden of Eden. I call it the Garden of Love and Abundance. I have a great guy in my network. I swear everybody who lives in the U.S. should go see Yogi Ramesh Pandey.
Yeah.
The Laughing Yogi. Again, I believe in simple is the best. He has a simple way of cleansing the heart, creating huge harmony between your chakras. And we've sort of teamed up now. He's going to help me with my initiative to help activists. Because the biggest problem, one of the other big problems with activism is that they get depressed. They research problem. They don't see solutions. And the darkness starts to reverberate within them and they become depleted, right? So, and they also get attacked too, psychically, this stuff. Mm-hmm. So what Yogi's done, he's created this beautiful laughing yogi system, which is very simple to learn. There isn't a lot of meditation in it, as far as I can tell, although I haven't gone through his 9-month program, but it's very powerful. It's very simple. And now since meeting him, I laugh a lot now. And it helps to break through the negativity and deplete it.
That's actually true. That is part of our, let me read this because this is really quick. What you were talking earlier about how we've lost our way. This is from The Way of Life by Lao Tzu, one of my favorite poets from 600 BC. So this will tell you how long. Now we're seeing the pinnacle of it, but this is a translation by Witter Bynner. It's six lines long. When people lost sight of the way to live, came codes of love and honesty. Learning came, charity came, hypocrisy took charge. When differences weakened family ties, came benevolent fathers and dutiful sons. And when lands were disrupted and misgoverned, came ministers commended as loyal. So I think that's what you were talking about. This is really where we're at. This is not a new thing. The difference is now they're destroying our capacity to regenerate life on this planet.
Yeah. That's the first thing. I've got a separate page on my site. It's called Foundation for a Natural and Loving World Order. The first phrase of that is that we are killing the regenerative cycles. We're supposed to kill animals to eat, some of us. Some of us like to eat meat. I mean, I don't think it's evil to eat meat. But when you kill too many of a species and you prevent its ability to reproduce, whether it's an animal or a fish or whatever, you're basically, destroy your source of food. It's not too smart, even from a basic egotistical point of view. It's stupid to do that. And what we've done, we've got all these systems. Basically, though they're not personal, they're huge systems that, again, are beyond you and I's ability to influence them individually. But see, this is why we need a political party, and it's got to be international. It can't be just local. It's got to go worldwide. And it can be varied within each community, but it's all going to be based upon the principles of nature and saving regenerative systems. And basically, the simple notion I have is stop the release of toxins, whether they're radiological, whether they're chemical, whether they're airborne, whatever. We just got to make a list of them.
So, Brian, this light bulb just went off in my head. I know we only have 10 minutes left, but I was thinking about, it just hit in my head what you were talking about, the laughter, because I know laughter and in experiencing that bubbling up of the real joy of living, that's being oppressed. That's one of the things people go, God, how do you deal with it? Well, actually, for me, it's freedom for me to face this. But part of what happens is I sort of have this natural ability to just laugh and enjoy life regardless of what goes on. And that's what a lot of people, but interestingly enough, we have this media, this so-called media that pushes these weird shows that are supposed to be funny that are seriously detrimental to people, like this whole stealing of the comedy scene, stealing of natural laughter and shoving it into the box along with the polluter. So people get all mixed up psychically on what's funny, what's not funny. It can't be an accident. This is probably a part. I mean, they probably fundamentally understand that being able to laugh and keep it lighthearted keeps us connected to, it grounds us to the earth. It actually grounds us to who we are spiritually.
Well, yeah, I mean, comedy shows are well represented in mainstream because they do distract us. But yogi, the Eastern religions revered nature. I mean, they knew how important the planet was. That's one of the reasons they developed this minimalism lifestyle, where all you needed to do was sit down and meditate and like maybe drink milk once in a while. Like, I think the top yogis in the world, they eat milk curd and they drink milk. That's about it. That's about all they need. And sometimes once a month or once a year. Some of them, basically the way it works is you go into a cave for 20 years. After that, you reach moksha. And moksha basically is where you consciously die and all your water goes to heaven. It's absolutely amazing what these guys do. They levitate. They have complete control of their unconscious mind. This is what attracts me to them. I mean, I've been invited to follow that path, but I've told everyone who's in that path, look, mother's dying. Mother comes first. I don't care what system you've got. Mother has to come first. I'm not here to spiritually evolve. I'm here to help everybody else prevent the destruction of our soul school, because without a soul school, we're all in deep trouble, and you know, those that are close to making the next step to the higher levels, if you need to come back for a few more lives, you're going to come back to an absolute cesspool. So the bottom line for everyone is we have to come together, everyone, every religious system, every spiritual system, and put the focus on preventing the destruction of Mother Earth. This is the mantra of our age.
And if we can do that, then we will be evolving spiritually. That's the thing. I mean, you're either living or you're dying. If you refuse your responsibility, you're dying. That's how I feel about it. Like, if you reject this, then you're choosing death along with Mother Earth. You're choosing a spiritual death.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have time to go through all my solutions, but we did have a little chance. I've actually got a great video.
Well, please come back and let's do a whole show on solutions. And we can actually think about this and just pick them apart, each one, and do a series of these perhaps, because that list of, it's a pretty comprehensive list. I mean, to be honest, out of all of those, the thing that really was new information to me was the shipping thing. That's a thought that I mean, this is how
90,000 of these friggin' ships.
This is how naive people are. I mean, I always said that I'm like the perfect post-ignorance project person, because, I mean, really, once you know, you can't unknow it. But that's a concept. I knew that shipping was bad. Like, I understood it used a lot of fossil fuel and things like that, but I had no idea the levels of toxicity that it generated throughout the planet.
Yeah, and the oil sands feed these ships. Eh? That's why they produce oil sand oil, because it's the perfect fuel for these ships. Right. Wow. So there's the destruction of the land connection.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then they also encourage the offshore production of stuff, which we don't need to do, which creates slavery worldwide, which creates, you know, destruction in other places. So we here, the big consumers in the West, we get all the goodies, and all these people are dying and living in cesspools. Mm-hmm. So we don't see that. I have a brother-in-law. And he used to be a VP with IBM, and he explains to me how much money we save. He said, if we made an iPad here on our labor rates, it would cost $17,000. He said, that's why they make them over there.
Well, not only that, you know, laptops and cell phones use a mineral called colban, C-O-L-B-A-N, right? And it is mined in the Congo, where it is fed by basically rogue little armies. They are losing 54,000 people a month producing this. That's over 1 million people a year being killed to produce. We never hear about them because they're Black Africans. But that's a real I learned about that recently. I went to a panel at the Environmental Law Conference at the University of Oregon, and a gentleman did a whole presentation on it. And they showed pictures of the mines and people with guns pointing people. I mean, it literally is slave labor. It's shocking. People just don't have any idea.
Yeah. Yeah. The consequences. And again, these ships use a lot of metal. 90,000 ships. I mean, how many mines did they create to make those metal? We don't need to take any more. If we did things right, and we did think we recycled things, which we're supposed to do, and we used energy systems that were clean and natural and had no toxin release, which we have, we would shut down all the mines. We've already extracted enough minerals and metals to feed everything. We could recycle our cell phones instead
right.
of replacing.
We have enough of everything already. We don't need more of anything else, frankly. There's enough. We have enough. We don't
exactly.
need more, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we promote with our children that less is better.
Yeah.
We need less crap and more connection, more beautiful human love connection.
Yeah,
support.
More love, exactly.
Creativity. Oh, wow. Creativity is a well that's infinite. How many symphonies can you write? How many books can you write? How many pictures can you paint? How many dances can you choreograph? This is the
how many songs
this is
can
where
you
we're
sing?
Supposed to live. This
we
is
need
the,
to be singing. I'm a firm believer in singing. I think singing is a need, a human need.
Absolutely. Beautiful. I like to sing. We all do. The Vedic system was all relayed by priests who sung. They took it and they created the language of Sanskrit to interpret what they were saying. But they didn't, the same as our native people here. They didn't
right.
write anything down. It was right. all done through singing, through dance. It was all natural. You see, so these systems, again, they haven't gone away. They still exist, you know, here in this realm, but primarily in the higher realms. So, but we're connected to everything. We can connect to the higher realms. We can reconnect to all this wisdom and bring it back here. And that's what we're doing. That's what you and I are doing. We're reconnecting to this higher wisdom and we're bringing it back.
Well, Brian, thank you for joining us. We have about 30 seconds left. I want people to go to your website, makingadifference.tv. And I am definitely hoping to bring you back sooner than later. Thanks for sharing your beautiful knowledge and your insight. Tremendous interview. I really am grateful that you share your time and efforts with our world and with me.
Well, Lonnie, you're doing great work, too. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, I look forward to doing more.
Take care. Put your courage feet on, you guys.